Hello and welcome to your Rate My League preview show. I'm Andy Goldstein, joined by Luke Giesbrecht, and today we are looking at Get a Life. Get a Life, standard scoring, Dynasty 12, teamer, and Rob bought the show. So thank you so much to Rob for getting this all set up. Luke, we have so much to get to today, but we like to break the ice with leagues out there. And this year I asked buyers to send in their memorable stories, their moments that league members will always bring up. And this league has been around in some form or fashion since, I believe, 1989. 1989 is when this league, now not as a dynasty league, but as a redraft league. But these guys have been playing fantasy football for a long, long time. So there's a lot of stories, I'm sure. But Rob wrote in with this one, one that comes up all the time. In the early years, one of the managers drafted kicker Nick Lowry of the Chiefs with his first round pick. His reasoning was that Lowry had scored the most points the previous season. So I had to look up Nick Lowry's stats and whatnot. And it looks like maybe that would have been 1991 where he was picked in round one, because he did lead the league in field goals made in 1990. So that might have been the year where he went number one. But that just shows you how old this league is. 1991. They got me beat, that's for sure.
Oh, they got me beat by my birth year. I'm born in 1991. I mean, that is deep chops for some old school fantasy. Yeah, I see their distaste for the PPR scoring and to keep that standard format now and forever. Got to appreciate sticking to your guns and playing it like you know. But yeah, these guys have more history than I barely know my football that far back.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I started playing fantasy football in 1999, and my partner, who I do shows with most of the time, Derek Jones, for our standard leagues, he started, I don't know exactly what year, but it was like early to mid-90s, but I think they got him beat too, so that's pretty impressive. So let's see, Rob wrote in, said they've been doing redrafts since 1989. It started in Bakersfield, and then a few years later, Rob, he moved to Big Bear and started a second league there. And then several years later, I moved to my hometown of San Diego and started a third league there. So Rob might have been the one spreading fantasy football, being as big as it is today, maybe in large part due to Rob and spreading fantasy football all through California. They decided to do a dynasty league. Now, I know on CBS Sports, it looks like their dynasty league goes back to 2010, maybe. At least that was when they started having the champions on the side of the sidebar there. So I don't know if it started before that, but basically it's an all-star league of the best managers from the three leagues that he was in. Also, each year, the BCA Savage Lizard Cup is on the line when the Bear Lake Berserkers, did I pronounce that? How would you pronounce that?
Yeah, Berserkers. Yeah, you nailed it.
Berserkers? See, Rob always makes fun of me every year because I pronounce it incorrectly. So
I just had like a core memory unlocked from doing this last year.
Yeah, right. So I'm just going to, from now on, anytime it comes up, I'm just going to be quiet and then you can say the name and then I will just move on. And Valley Ridge Force played against each other, and when Rob and Brian played against each other in the redraft league. The cup currently sits on Rob's desk, and the
Berserkers
lead the Lifetime Series 27-18. And the last note here, they moved from point for every 10 yards. I'm sorry, they moved to a point for every 10 yards starting this season. So the scoring system pretty much standard now. Quote unquote standard, still not, and will never use PPR, as we've gone over many times. Rob and I are simpatico on this. I am anti PPR as well, but we are definitely in the minority out there, Luke, for sure.
I'm coming to your side a little bit. I think I still prefer half PPR.
Yeah.
But I do find the classic argument of like a negative 1 yard pass should not be worth a 9 yard rush. And that argument is very sound.
Still not. We'll never use PPR. The worst role in fantasy football. Rosters cut down the day before the season. So bloated rosters during the offseason. And they have two IDP flexes now. Also, I got... Bobby wrote in from Boston Ivory Tower, just emphasizing the fact that they actually changed the scoring. He was saying that in the past, kickers were weirdly important. Also, in the playoffs, so the regular season is normal fantasy, and then the playoffs, it goes to best ball. So depth becomes extra important in the fantasy playoffs, which is kind of interesting. And for some reason, quarterbacks are highly coveted and held on to in this league, which can be frustrating. I mean, it is a one quarterback league, but we are definitely going to see some odd quarterback things. Last thing, I did ask the managers, since I was added to the CBS league, and I was like looking at, I was just staring there, and it's like, oh, I can post a message. So I did. I said, if anyone wants to tell me about their team, their situation, anything we should know, let us know. So we do have four notes from some of the managers here. Oh, and I'm sorry, this is the last thing. Bobby also was wondering about going undefeated. Apparently he went undefeated in one of the redraft leagues, and he was wondering how rare that was. He was hypothesizing that it's much rarer in redraft to go undefeated than dynasty. I actually have some data on this because the RateMyLeague.com website, if you go to the report page, if you have a league that's on Sleeper, MFL, Yahoo, ESPN, or Flea Flicker, you can get a report for your league automatically. So a lot of leagues have run reports, and I get data from those leagues. And I can tell you there are 660 leagues that I have data from this season and last season for, and 9% of those teams went winless last year, which was not the question, but 2% of those teams went undefeated last year. So there you go. Pretty rare event. 2% in dynasty leagues, and I do believe it would be rare in a redraft league. How about that?
Wow. Is that going all the way to a championship or just regular season?
Just regular season.
Wow. Because that just proves how hard it is. Because, yeah, I think I haven't seen one this year in the leagues we've done of someone who went undefeated.
And yeah, we've definitely seen a couple, and it's way – yeah, I mean, just anecdotally, it definitely feels like more – undefeated teams rather than, I'm sorry, more winless teams, because you can kind of choose to go winless a little bit
exactly.
Rather than going undefeated. Okay, we better get going. They know how it's going to work. They don't need us to go over that again. So let's just get started here. Number 12, Kern River Rats. Kern River Rats from the Bakersfield division. Involved in a trade this offseason. They ended up giving away their second round pick this year, and also Baker Mayfield. They get back Daniel Jones, as Bobby mentioned, quarterback's kind of hard to come by sometimes. So definitely getting a little bit more solid at the quarterback position there, but had to give up a second rounder to do it. When you look at this roster, number 12, dead last in the league, unfortunately. And that combo, giving up a second round pick and going for Daniel Jones when you already have or still have the worst redraft roster in the league. Luke, I'm wondering, how do you see that strategy?
I mean, I think it's a good opportunity to get rid of Baker Mayfield. I think his value goes to zero pretty quickly. A roster that needed a quarterback for the future. And if you believe in Daniel Jones, I mean, we've seen the Giants give him a pretty decent contract. He has shown flashes of being a bit of a dual-purpose quarterback who can use his legs to score points. So if you're a firm believer in Daniel Jones and a little bit worried about how long Aaron Rodgers is going to play for the Jets, I don't hate it. Now, a second-round pick, you are losing some value, and I think we can kind of just jump into what they were seeing fall into the second round. Like, they picked up Zay Flowers in the second, so there was some meat on the bone in that second round. Maybe not a ton, but a positional player like that maybe offers you a bit more value. But like you said, when you get into those, like, idiosyncrasies of leagues, and if quarterbacks are hard to get, I can get on board for it.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing they did get Zay Flowers at 2.02. Pretty lucky there, because this wide receiver group, dead last in the league, it is awful. It's not good. There's no top 45 consensus redraft wide receiver on this roster. Obviously, Zay Flowers does jump up into that zone for dynasty value here. This team overall does actually lose just a smidgen of dynasty value, but it is a young team, 24.9. is the average starter age here in 25 flat. For offense, Zay Flowers does help in that category. But there's a couple guys on this roster that maybe don't fit at the moment. Like, Austin Eckler stands out. He's a very good running back. He's running back 4 still in even standard scoring here. But he's a 29-year-old running back. He's 28 this year. Am I being harsh? Does he not fit?
No, I think when we kind of look at it overall, like you mentioned, we've got it's the 12th ranked team, so you got to really maybe make some hard choices here. And you're number 6th overall in starters and number 8th in depth, so you're not looking great. And it's all being propped up by Austin Eckler. So I think he's someone you should probably look at selling. And as we kind of just take a peek into the IDP as well, I think Myles Garrett falls into kind of a similar category of a very strong player. I think defensive line players are going to score fairly well in this format. So someone who, if based on how we're feeling about the rest of the roster, might need to get out there and see if you can get some name value, some big trades. I think Austin Eckler, even Aaron Rodgers, now that you've kind of established Daniel Jones, I would probably have Rodgers, Eckler, and Myles Garrett all sitting on my trade bait, kind of seeing what I can do with it. Tight end, I think, is a position where they at least feel mildly comfortable. We've got him ranked number 7, Pat Freiermuth. Depending on how you feel about Darnell Washington, I think he's still a pretty safe bet to fall into that lower half of a tight end 1 scoring, which is a bit of a mixed bag and kind of equal value regardless of where you are. But he might be able to ascend into that next tier, so it's at least something to kind of hang your hat on when you've got kind of Jones, Zay Flowers, and Pat to kind of give you like a little bit of a core. And then if you could flip Austin Eckler into another younger wide receiver, I think that's how I would go with it. I wouldn't want to be picking up much running back value with this team kind of needing a couple of years, I think, to spin the whole roster. It's kind of what I'm thinking about. I don't know how you feel about its overall direction moving forward. I know when we look at future draft capital, we've got them ranked 10th. They seem to be missing their 2024 first, but do have two 2024 seconds, so a little bit to recoup. But this looks like an owner who doesn't use their first-round picks very often.
Yeah, no first-rounder this year and already no first-rounder next year. I think recouping a 24 first, even if it's not their own, would be mighty fine. That 24 first, by the way, boy, oh boy, whomever has it, could be in for the 1.01 next year. It is looking a little sketchy here. I will say, picking up the 2023 Speed Score champion in Generic Prince. Gotta like that. 8th round pick. You know how I like my Speed Score guys. You know who the Speed Score champion was last year?
Do tell.
One Isaiah Pacheco.
Not a bad name.
2.7 is the team score here. Helmet Sickers, I don't think he's coming back. Tom Brady rostered. He's got a new bow. He's got a new love in his life. Not sure he's going to be playing football. He is rostered here. The What's My Age Again, tied for most rookie starters. The RML proof. This is actually our highest rated RML staff ranking versus consensus. We still have them ranked dead last. Sorry about that. The You Could Do So Much Better, worst rated wide receiver position. But let's play this one, the breaking news sticker.
I'm Linda Cohn from ESPN Sports Center. Late breaking news. This fantasy football team is awful. It is a complete train wreck. Multiple sources are confirming to us that this team is an affront to fantasy football itself. It's a joke, it's embarrassing, and it's a fact.
Yeah, for having the worst ranked team, you get Linda Cohn to eviscerate you. Congratulations for that one. Number 11, Pumpkin Center Pirates from the Bakersfield Division. That's two teams now from the Bakersfield Division. Involved in a couple trades. The first one, they ended up giving away Dalton Kincaid. They get back the 1.12, which was used on C.J. Stroud, and a 4th-round pick this year and a 5th-round pick this year. I'm not sure which 4th or 5th, but obviously you can see they picked up some talent. I guess some free agent talent, looks like, with Corey Clement. I think Charlie Jones is a wide receiver, if I'm remembering correctly, and then Sean Tucker, obviously, and Jake Ferguson, so some offensive talent there. This is also the other side of the Daniel Jones trade. So they give up Daniel Jones. They get one of those second-round picks out of that deal. And Baker Mayfield, who slides in as quarterback 4 on this roster. This is a team with a lot of quarterback bodies. I mean, 4 NFL starters here. That's something.
Yeah, for week 1, for sure. Moving forward, it remains to be seen how long Tannehill's going to be holding on to that job. And Baker, I think, probably has a bit of a longer leash with just the fact that it's just Kyle Trask pushing him. But I do think the Tennessee Titans probably do end up taking a peek at either Will Levis or Malik if something ends up working out. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting. The Dalton Kincaid trade, I don't know how I feel about it. I think it's maybe a bit of an indictment on how the team feels about Kenny Pickett, because I don't mind going out and getting CJ Stroud. I think 112 is maybe a little early in a one quarterback, but like we've talked about, when you have internal values that kind of change things, I've seen that in one quarterback leagues before. I just, when we look at the quarterback position, they had Kenny Pickett, they had Tannehill, they turned Daniel Jones into another quarterback in Baker Mayfield. I don't know if they needed CJ Stroud from a hard need perspective, and at tight end, they're not looking much better. And I think, I know Dalton Kincaid's a bit of a hype machine at this point. His value is not derived from any kind of production. It's mostly just everyone slotting him into the concept that he is going to be the wide receiver two in Buffalo rather than just a primary tight end. But I mean, Evan Ingram is at least a little bit more locked in. Dalton Schultz, I'm not very sold on what he's going to do in Houston, but there isn't a lot of receiving talent out there for CJ Stroud. But I think I'd feel better having Kincaid rather than having Stroud on this. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah. Have you done, I was actually thinking about this when I was looking at this league. Have you done a one quarterback league yet this year? I know most IDP leagues, it feels like, are super flex.
Most IDP are super flex. Yeah. No, my biggest anchoring is my home league my oldest league is still a one quarterback. So that's kind of where I derive my value sitting from. But sure. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't see a ton of it with IDP. As people kind of start to expand out the rosters, they tend to add that second quarterback at the same time. But sure.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, quarterback values in this one, in quarterback values in one quarterback leagues this year, we've seen, you know, some, because I do the non-IDP shows, so we still see some one quarterback leagues, and the quarterback values are just all over the map. And obviously, Bobby was telling us that in this league, quarterbacks are held on to pretty hard. So I was not surprised after reading that to see quarterbacks all going, the first three all going in the first round here. Not a shock. This team, number 9 in total redraft value, number 11 in starter redraft value, which indicates some bench strength here. When you look at the bench, you definitely see, like, J.K. Dobbins is technically a bench player here. David Montgomery's a bench player here. So this team has some value on the bench and a pretty good wide receiver group. You know, number 6 at running back, number 7 at wide receiver. For the number 9 team, for the team ranked 11th in the power rankings here, they do have some talent here. I don't think it's a complete train wreck, as Linda Cohn might say.
No, absolutely not. And I think there's a nice foundation in the wide receiver, like from an age perspective, especially Amon-Ra St. Brown, Watson, Ayuk, Pittman even, I think, still is slipping a little bit in the kind of redraft rankings, but we'll kind of remains to be seen what Anthony Richardson really looks like as a pure passer. But Treylon Burks, I think Jordan Addison at 107 was pretty excellent value from where I've been seeing him get drafted. So, yeah, you're right. A nice young core. And then the IDP, I mean, we have them ranked 4th, which I know based on the scoring and the limited amount of starters in comparison to offense isn't something that's going to maybe prop a team up from a win to week perspective, but is again in a pretty nice position. I quite like that defensive line that they have with Brian Burns, Jalen Phillips, Danielle Hunter, I think, is going to kind of start to climb back up here. And yeah, even having Devin Lloyd, a little bit lacking from their safety DB position, but it's a decent enough core. I think this team could do, not make noise, but definitely hold themselves accountable, at least to the middle of the pack teams.
Yeah, and they gain dynasty value overall as well. They move up to number 7 in the dynasty ranking. So for the number 11 team, I mean, the bugaboo here is really the draft capital, where they rank dead last in the league. They are missing their 24 first rounder, which just does not help. That brings the team score down a bit. 5.46 is the team score. They get the Bear Cupboard sticker, least draft capital. Number 10, Balcom Canyon Badgers, I think. Hopefully I pronounced that one okay. Also from the Bakersfield Division. What is going on in the Bakersfield Division? It is looking pretty grim for that division at the moment. This team, number 11 in total redraft value, number 7 in starter redraft value, which is kind of the opposite of the last team. This squad, no depth at all. I mean, you're looking at Deontay Foreman as a bench piece, primary bench piece at running back. You're looking at Zay Jones as your primary bench piece at wide receiver. Tyler Higbee is okay, I suppose, as your primary bench piece at tight end. But at the same time, they have starter strength. Derrick Henry's here. Miles Sanders, my boy Isaiah Pacheco's here. It's the number five running back group in the league. Stephon Diggs, Tyler Lockett. I mean, only two wide receiver starters here, but Diggs, wide receiver five. And then you throw in Mark Andrews at tight end number two. If this team stays healthy, Luke, how far can they go? I mean, that number seven starter value, I mean, they could be a playoff team.
Yeah, there's a potential for it. I mean, we already kind of talked about, I think, my first fear, and I'm sure they think the same thing, is the fact that it changes to best ball makes it a bit of a terrifying aspect, because you're essentially just going to be starting your starters. Your bench is not going to be giving you a ton of value outside of just an amazing outlier. But yeah, quarterback, I think, is serviceable. You're really missing someone who's going to make a difference for you at the position. I mean, I think I like Jared Goff's position in Detroit a little bit better than QB 16. And Derek Carr even, I think, slept on maybe slightly at QB 20. But I don't think even in their ceilings, you're going to be seeing a lot of quarterback 1 weeks out of either of them. I mean, unless you really believe in what's going to happen to that Detroit offense, maybe once Jameson Williams comes back from the suspension. But I just don't see the volume in passing from either of them. So I think that slows them down a little bit. But, yeah, like you said, anytime that you can kind of line up Derrick Henry, Stephon Diggs, and Mark Andrews 1-2-3 against everybody else's starters, I feel pretty good about it. I feel really good about Miles Sanders as a running back, too, honestly. I'm an Eagles fan. It's usually something that I need to preface right away, because that'll be how me and Sticky talk about the entire league. But so I'm very familiar with Frank Reich, who is going to be taking over there. And I do believe in Miles Sanders as a running back who has the ability to kind of contribute in the passing game. I know it's not PPR, but he's still going to get yards from that perspective and have an opportunity to score more touchdowns from that way and be a little bit more dynamic in the red zone.
You know what? Just harping on that a little bit, I read some statistical analysis about fantasy points per touch, and even in standard scoring leagues, a reception is still more valuable for a running back than a rush. Like, your average reception in a standard scoring league still scores more fantasy points than your average rush, which I thought was interesting and kind of not intuitive, per se.
No, that makes some sense. I like that. So I at least think there's a little bit of depth from the running back position. I know you like Pacheco. I think he's easily marked in for a starter here. But it's just a little bit of, like, for the amount of offensive starters that they're, the amount of offensive depth that they're holding from a roster perspective, yeah, you wish you'd see some more maybe like scorable depth. Obviously, a team that hasn't had an opportunity to take a lot of draft capital this year.
No first or second rounder this year.
Yeah, so a little bit of a trouble there, like going from Mohamed Ibrahim in the third round, obviously trying to find a running back. I can't help but notice that Roquan Smith went 6'11". There has to be a reason for that.
Well, again, there's no tackle, you know, no scoring for tackles. So
there's no tackles, linebacker. Yeah, he's not really a big TFL guy. You're right. Okay, that makes complete sense then. So from an IDP perspective, like I was saying, I think based on the format, you're going to want to be deeper from the defensive line. And Alex Highsmith and Josh Sweat, neither of those guys are massive opportunity getters at this point. They're both kind of rocking into rotations, not going to get a ton of your sacks. So Marlon Humphreys, again, is a guy who gets a lot of tackles and really kind of wraps up well, but isn't a massive ball hawk either from an interception perspective. So the IDP rank at 7 maybe even feels a little bit objectively high based on the scoring. So I think, yeah, this team might be able to fight its way to the playoffs, but I just think once we get to that best ball format in the playoffs, it would be a very tough uphill battle.
Yeah, there's two other points which are kind of at the opposite ends of the spectrum. One, this team, older, 27.3 overall and 28.1 on offense. Any team on offense that's over 28 years per starter. And it's really, and you can throw the fact that Jared Goff at 29 isn't the oldest quarterback. This team has age on the offensive side of the ball, and this team drops like a rock in dynasty value. They fall to number 11 in the dynasty. Well, I'm sorry, they stay at number 11 in the dynasty rankings, but they fall $50 in dynasty value. And then on the other end of the spectrum here, number one in future draft capital, they have that 24 first from Kern River Rats. We have that as a plus pick. That is a potential 1.01 next year based on what we're looking at. So that could be ginormous here moving forward. 6.12 is the team score. Just the Baubles, Bengals, and Beads sticker.
Baubles, Bengals, hear how they jing jingling.
For having the most future Baubles, draft capital, they get the Baubles, Bengals, and Beads sticker, and that means you get some Frank Sinatra.
Sparkles, Spangles, her heart will sing, sing a linger.
All right, moving on to number 9, Valley Ridge Force. Valley Ridge Force is team number 10 in total redraft value, number 9 in starter redraft value. When you look at this team positionally, one thing certainly jumps out at me immediately. The number 1 running back group in the league. And that also comes with the 1.01 selection this year, so they get Bijan Robinson to go along with Jonathan Taylor, running back 6. Damian Pierce, running back 21. Alexander Mattison, running back 22. Very deep, very talented running back group in a 12-team league.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be upset when you're a team that had Jonathan Taylor and you could add Bijan Robinson. That's an immediate opportunity to really make some differences. Obviously, I think there's a little bit of stress around Jonathan Taylor right now, in between the injury of his back and his feud with his owner, I think is yes. the easiest way to describe that. Yes. I'm a firm believer that most of this is going to settle itself out. Most people will end up taking the money that they can get paid right now rather than getting fined. I think Saquon Barkley kind of bending the knee really hurt any opportunity for a running back movement in resetting the market. And I think my only concern is if we just put it into a bubble that Jonathan Taylor is going to be there. You've got that 1-2. I don't know how much I love the backside of it with Damian Pierce and Alexander Mattison. I mean, we just heard news today that Kareem Hunt took a visit with the Vikings, which I think is kind of the first inclination that they're interested in at least adding someone else. Mm. We're just seeing the beginning of preseason. We saw Ty Chandler get a lot of touches last night and kind of show himself off as a three-down back in preseason. And then I find it really interesting that that's what they made him do last night, and then they immediately took a visit from Kareem Hunt. So that's just kind of a little bit of a tidbit there. So maybe a bit of depth issues, but I mean, they are both earmarked as starters, so you feel good enough about them being your RB3 and 4. Team falls down a little bit after that from a strength perspective. Running backs, wide receivers, my apologies, we have them ranked 11. DeAndre Hopkins found himself a good home with the Titans. Drake London, you're really hoping can take a step forward with Atlanta, but I think that's really going to be hard to do with just the amount of kind of talent for coming out of Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. Arthur Smith seeming to be just a throwback coach.
Atlanta ranked 31st in pass attempts last year. 31st.
Yeah, this league knows an Arthur Smith coach because they watched all of them in the 90s, and that's what Arthur Smith loves to do. And so Bijan's going to get the rock. Desmond Ridder's going to be in a lot of RPO hold situations with designed runs. So I worry about the volume that Drake London can pull off.
Yeah, the one piece of good news for Drake London was his target share once Ridder got into the was the starter last year. I think his target share jumped to like over 20%. Like, it looked really good. It's just they need to pass the ball more. Like, if that team even becomes, say, like, I don't know, 20th or 15th in pass attempts, then yeah, suddenly it could unlock some stuff. But I like him as a dynasty asset.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, like, still from a redraft perspective, that wide receiver 26 ranking, it feels a little bit hopeful to me.
I agree. I think it's closer to his ceiling than what his floor is. And this team obviously knew that they didn't have a lot of depth. I think they found a pretty good draft pick in Jaden Reed at 401. I think I've seen him go easily in the second round quite often.
Yeah, this team that's a good pick. They got good value there. Not so good in terms of value was Michael Mayer at 1.04. And then they came back with, I think, good value with Sam Laporta. Same position, 3.01. I love me some Sam Laporta. I'm a little bit tepid on Michael Mayer, so it's interesting to see him go 1.04 here. I don't know what that's about, really, unless it's just he's just going to score a ton of touchdowns because he's so big.
I mean, maybe a Notre Dame fan is my only inclination there. Because, cause there was a lot of meat on the bone at 104, like a lot. So, I mean, just looking at Fantasy Pros, how they have them ranked for redraft right now, is Laporta's already earmarked to get a better share of scoring this year. So, a little bit interesting. Obviously, a position the team really needed before drafting both those guys. It was Irv Smith, Mo Alie-Cox, and Jeremy Ruckert. So, really needed some help there. Still the number 12 overall tight end group. So, maybe needing a bit of help. Do you feel like Joe Burrow is a quarterback that can anchor this roster with its strength at running back and kind of push it forward?
I know he's – well, he did pretty well on the ground scoring touchdowns last year. I mean, he's not going to be Anthony Richardson on the ground, but he definitely helps out on the ground anyway, and it raises his ceiling a little bit. You know, you get into the playoffs also, Jordan Love maybe has a big week. He looks okay tonight as far as I could tell. They do take Will Levis at 2.01. I don't know. Feels a... In one quarterback, 2.01 for Will Levis definitely feels early.
Yeah, I think especially knowing that Zay Flowers went at 202 and where this team is kind of sitting at in their wide receiver position, I'd love to see Zay Flowers sitting on this roster. I think it maybe gives you a little bit more hope, especially when I feel so secure about Joe Burrow's kind of longevity as a scoring quarterback from a fantasy perspective. From an IDP perspective, I think this is kind of how I would want to start building out a roster. They've hammered the defensive end position. We don't have them ranked very highly, but they're taking a lot of shots. You're hoping Trayvon Walker takes a step forward this year. They picked up Nolan Smith at 501. Nolan Smith is definitely going to be a year away from really getting good time. You're going to see him as a massive rotational piece this year with Philadelphia, and they're kind of doing the same thing that they did last year, where they're going to take those edge guys and make them step back into not playing a linebacker position truly, but faux playing a linebacker position, dropping into basic coverages just to confuse the line of where the rush is coming from. And I think you will see Nolan Smith kind of be that red herring player a lot for the Eagles this year. So a little bit of time might be required there, but Surtain and Lattimore seem like decent quarterbacks to have. But even in a league where you're not looking for tackles, you're still looking for DBs who are going to get targeted a lot. And so sometimes I feel like in an IDP league, you'll have owners gravitate towards the cornerbacks of names that you know. And sometimes that's not necessarily the best strategy, just in the fact that if you really know the name, the other offense probably does as well, and they start to scheme away from them. You want the guy who is talented enough, that he's going to get the targets, but he's poor enough in coverage that he's going to give a couple away, and then he's going to make the plays on the other ones. Like, Diggs is perfect for that. And like, it's why he's not a great cornerback from an NFL perspective, but he's just so good at turning the ball over.
I think he's paid like one.
Yeah, he is. He's paid like a DB1. Like, yeah. And I'm happy about it, 'cause he's in our division. But I mean, he gives up massive plays, but he makes massive plays, and that's perfect for fantasy, where someone like Surtain is just like a proper lockdown and a little bit scarier.
Team score here, 6.12. Helmet Stickers, what's my age again? Tied for most rookie starters. The golden ticket, top-rated running back position. The Better Call Hans Brinker, lowest-rated IDP. That's a deep cut there. But let's play this one. The Mind Recoils.
It makes you behave like the village drunkard in some early Irish novel. Total loss of all basic motor skills. Blurred vision, no balance, numb tongue. The mind recoils in horror.
For having the worst rated tight end position, it's a little fear and loathing in Las Vegas for you. Number 8, North Shore Nemesis from the Big Bear division. The other side of the Dalton Kincaid trade, so this team ends up with Dalton Kincaid there at the 1.09 selection. They do give up the 1.12, and then they give up a 4th-rounder and a 5th-rounder as well. Luke, just talking about the other side of that, it seems like we probably like the Kincaid side a little bit better.
I think so. I think it maybe contextually makes sense for both teams a little bit, but this is a team that Kincaid jumps up immediately and is our highest ranked tight end for them. They're a tight end room where we don't have them ranked very highly. Number 9 back end. Gerald Everett and Hunter Heavery were serviceable. This is a team that owned Dawson Knox and watched his value implode via the Kincaid draft. So that makes a lot of sense. And then when we jump up to quarterback, we've got them ranked in the top 3. Josh Allen, Matt Stafford. So you've got two pretty established ones. Stafford's on his way out, and you've got a bit of a look at Sam Howell this year. I'm a big believer. I loved Sam Howell coming out of North Carolina. I really thought he had an opportunity to be one of the better quarterbacks of that draft. Was shocked to watch him fall so far, and I'm excited to watch him start this year. So you've got a little bit of a chance there. Picked up Hedon Hooker and Stetson Bennett in the draft, kind of giving yourself those dart throws, which, I mean, I think is a great strategy in a league where, I mean, if Hedon Hooker or Stetson Bennett ends up becoming a starter and turns into a Daniel Jones, and you can all of a sudden get much better draft capital for them back, you got to love that kind of strategy. How do you feel about the positional values of running back and wide receiver, knowing that they're quite strong at quarterback and a little bit weak at tight end?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that so the reason that they are ranked where they are, number 8, is really because of the dynasty value fall off. I mean, this team goes from number 6 in total redraft value to number 10 in total dynasty value. A lot of dynasty losers here. Cooper Kupp, Debo, both losing double-digit dynasty value. But right now, not only are they number 6 in redraft value, total redraft value, they're number 4 in starter redraft value. So this is a team that, especially because IDP's probably weighted a little more than it should be, and You know, they're fifth in IDP value. I think offensively, they if they stay healthy, this starter group can get them pretty far. I mean, Cooper Kupp, he's got to get back healthy, but this is the number five wide receiver group in the league and number three in starter wide receiver value. It's damn near a foundational wide receiver group. And then number seven at wide receiver, running back rather, with Tony Pollard. And just to mention it, the stack with Josh Allen and Dalton Kincaid, they're going for the stack.
Yeah, for sure. Gabe Davis there too. So I think we maybe found a little Buffalo much. Bills fan yeah, there. A little too much there, too but much, hey, yeah. it'll be a good week if that goes off right. I think I worry about running back depth when we look at this. Jamal Williams, I think I like the player. I don't like the situation he went to. Alvin Kamara's suspension was light. Three games is not a lot. They went out and spent very decent amount of draft capital going out and picking up a running back as well this year. So. It's a tough one. Tyler Algieri would have been a huge boon for this team last year and now unfortunately lost all his value with Bijan Robinson arriving. Jeffrey Wilson, I think, probably ends up getting a little bit more touches in Miami than RB44. Kenneth Gainwell at RB54. I think you're going to see that start to shoot up as his hype is coming out now.
Yeah, did you see I think Elliot Shore Parks just tweeted, he's in line to be the number one.
Yeah, Elliot Shore Parks is a very good
beat writer.
Yeah, beat writer, he is. He's just a little hyperbolic. Eagles fans know to kind of temper what they see out of him. He'll when Jalen Hurts throws one interception, it's the end of the world, and he's having a really bad week. And it's so Kenneth Gainwell is a very talented running back. There's just a bit of a mess there. I do think you'll see him run up a little bit. I don't know how much he actually is a running back one for Philadelphia, but
this team
Tony
also,
Pollard's good, but not enough, I don't think.
This team also number two in future draft capital. They have an extra first rounder from Pumpkin Center Pirates, a team that we had ranked towards the bottom of the league. So could be a really good pick there. They don't have their own first rounder, but they still have a better one, and they also have an extra 24 second rounder here. So things are looking good. I'm actually surprised seeing all the numbers that this team is ranked 10th. Eighth. I feel like if I were hand placing them, I might hand place them a little bit higher. 6.14 is a team score. They do get the tumbleweed sticker for having no other stickers. Next up, we have Tasmania Devils, and we got a little note from the manager of Tasmania Devils. It's George. So this is George, the manager of Tasmania Devils in Rob's league. I'm not sure what to tell you about my team. The last few years, I have been the perennial third-place team. I have a good team, but I can't seem to win at all. 1 year, Alvin Kamara scored 0 touchdowns in the quarterfinal to bump me to the consolation round, where that's when Kamara had 6 touchdowns. Nothing worse. Well, there's few things worse than seeing your guy score 6 touchdowns in the in what would have been the championship game without him actually being active for you in an actual championship game. That's really tough. Another year, Tyreek Hill's had a possible season-winning catch go through his hands and hit him in the face mask. I think you get the point. The strength of my team is at quarterback, Patrick Mahomes with Justin Fields as the backup, and wide receiver, Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill. I have decent running backs in Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara, but this is a weakness, so I tend to go with a one running back strategy when setting my lineup. And tight ends, Dallas Carter. Yeah, we'll get to that. I drafted 10th in the rookie draft and was happy to get Quentin Johnston. Anyway, that's about it. So there you go. it's tough when stuff like that happens, but I mean, it is still a very good team here. Number 4 in total redraft value, number 5 in starter redraft value. Again, we have them ranked 7th in the power rankings, but that's not necessarily because they can't be a really good team this season. A lot of that is that dynasty decline here, a little bit of an older team, 27.9 on offense. They go down to number 9 in dynasty value. Now the number 9 future draft capital team, just because they're ranked a little bit higher in redraft and they do have all their picks intact, but we value picks based on the strength of the redraft situation. And then finally, IDP kind of towards the bottom of the league at number 8. So the good news here is that for 2023, they remain a team that should be in the mix, maybe for that third place finish again, but they should be in the mix.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think this team's, I wouldn't want to say write it in pen, but definitely pencil them in for a playoff spot again. You can't argue with the strengths of this roster between quarterback and wide receiver. I mean, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, excellent 2-1-2 punch. You're going to have two wide receiver ones there, provided health. Obviously, Devontae Adams got a bit of a scare today. Let's hope it's okay. I think they recognized that that was the position where they were going to be losing value moving forward. You kind of alluded to it, and they hit it in the draft. Where they getting Quentin Johnston at 1.10, I think, is a great value. Jonathan Mingo at 2.10 feels pretty good. Mm-hmm. So they've definitely picked up a couple bullets there. They already had a few that maybe haven't quite worked out as you kind of look at the back end of their depth here with George Pickens, Elijah Moore, Rashad Bateman, Tommy Brown.
Even you can keep going. Like Michael Wilson at 5.10, like that's a really nice value. Yeah. He's kind of the forgotten rookie wide receiver, probably because he went to Arizona.
Yeah,
and maybe, you know, it may not work out, and that's fine. But 5.10, it's worth a shot at that point.
Oh, absolutely. And then I'll always tip a cap to a Justin Ross owner. I hope you've been holding them since a rookie. And we're all hoping he has a healthy year and can be unlocked and maybe get some snaps and really kind of show off that talent that we all saw in Clemson as a freshman. But I think George Pickens is probably, if I had to pick someone who's going to maybe ascend themselves this year, you hope it's Pickens. Quentin Johnston, I really feel like, is going to take a year. He's going to need to see either Keenan Allen or Mike Williams leave for him to kind of really see the volume. I believe a lot in Justin Herbert. I'm just not quite sure that there's really many offenses in the NFL that can sustain three fantasy relevant wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of interesting guys here between Pickens, Elijah Moore, Quentin Johnston, mm-hmm. obviously, and then Rashad Bateman. All of those guys are pretty interesting pieces.
Yeah, they all definitely are. Elijah Moore and Bateman, personally, I think, are really kind of on the precipice. This is the year they have to show it, or it's moving on time. So you kind of see what happens there. From tight end, I feel like they're in a competitive spot. They already mentioned the Dallas Goedert, really hoping to see him take another step forward. But again, he kind of falls into the same problem that I see with Quentin Johnston, is that with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith there already, there's just not a ton of additional targets to fall to Dallas Goedert. He really needs to be efficient with his catches to kind of hit that 1,000-yard 6 to 10 touchdown range that you really want to see from an elite, in quotes, tight end. Chigi Okonkwo, I think, is an excellent tight end too. Just really good value there. I think he has an opportunity to see some pretty good target share in Tennessee. And then again, you're just talking about getting good value in the draft. Luke Schoonmaker at 6'10". Like, you got a tight end who went in the second round of the actual NFL draft in the sixth round. So that's never a bad thing to do.
Anything with IDP we should be focused on here?
I mean, you're happy to have Hassan Reddick in a league that values sacks. He led the league in sacks last year. I think he's got an opportunity on a very good defensive line to be close again. Chris Jones, an excellent defensive tackle. A little light on depth. When you're looking at it, you're probably going to have to start Za'Darius Smith a lot. That's a bit of a problem. Stafy as well is a pretty good group with Bursker and Duggar. You feel good about it. I feel like IDP ranked 8th is maybe a little light. It's maybe that we don't have as many players on it. We're not valuing it from a depth perspective, but from what they're starting, I think it's competitive.
Sounds good. 6.36 is the team score here. The over mountain sticker, top rated quarterback position. But let's play this one, the running out of time sticker. For having the oldest projected starting lineup in the league, that's offense and defense here. But when specifically looking at offense, Aaron Jones, 29, Kamara, 28, Tyreek Hill, 29, Devontae Adams, 31, Dallas Goedert, 28. Lots of age to go around there. Number 6, Atlanta Arrogant Bastards from the Big Bear Division here. A strange situation, sort of. Number 5 in total redraft value, number 8 in starter redraft value. Another team that looks like they have some really nice, interesting depth here. I mean, just look at quarterback, right? With Dak Prescott as a bench piece, Kirk Cousins as a bench piece. This team has 3 top 13 quarterbacks on the roster. You have DeAndre Swift as a bench player, A.J. Dillon as a bench player here, even Brandon Cooks as a bench piece. Darren Waller, tight end 5, is a bench piece. When they get to the playoffs, this is a team that, I say when they get to the playoffs, if they get to the playoffs, this is a team that definitely would benefit from the best ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a little surprised to see them this low. Now, maybe it's because they don't have the sexiest names at the very top of the list.
Top like 15 running back here. They don't have a top 10 wide receiver on the roster. even Trevor Lawrence as your number one quarterback, there's no top five, you know, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen type here.
Yeah, and I think I guess it's a problem when you're going up against them and they're going to maybe be outscoring you from a point perspective. But I mean, it's a nice roster overall. I think running back, I think, is my largest concern. We've got them ranked 10th. It's Jamari Gibbs. I feel good about Cam Akers, I think, is where I kind of start to get some questions that, like, okay, if he has to be a starter for you, and maybe he doesn't, maybe you do end up just only starting one running back and you feel a little bit better about it. AJ Dillon, I don't think, is quite there from a starter perspective. Kendre Miller, again, I already alluded to the Saints spending good draft capital on him, which is really nice to see, but in a bit of a muddled situation this year. DeAndre Swift, we've talked about Gainwell getting all the hype, pennies there as well from a short distance perspective. So definitely a lot of moving pieces in Philadelphia to who actually gets the lion's share of the carries there. I think Zeke Elliott might actually be a bit of a linchpin for this. If he ends up seeing an injury to a good offense and he's kind of slides himself into a position where he can use what he has as value, I think that'd be very good.
One thing to note about this offense, very young. 23.8 is the average starter age on offense. It's, of course, helped by the fact that Trevor Lawrence is young, and then they get Gibbs at 1.03 here, and he slides in as a starter. But, I mean, even wide receiver Waddle and Olave, Ridley's like the oldest guy on this team on offense.
No, yeah, definitely a team that's going to continue to carry value moving forward. From the IDP perspective, I think they're also pretty strong. Quentin Williams and Javon Hargraves is an excellent amount of DTs, and I'm going to own a lot of them. It'd probably be Quentin Williams. Hargrave, an excellent guy for getting those, being more of a pass rusher from the defensive tackle position. Max Crosby is a good defensive end. I think Will Anderson in the third round was a good draft pick. I think he might take a year to kind of start to assimilate into the defense and become more of a sack productions profile, but at least a good place to start. Jalen Ramsey, I kind of already alluded to the fact when you get these higher name value players, they're not quite as good from a scoring perspective, but they're just not getting targeted as much. So maybe as you see Ramsey start to slip, I guess he's injured, so he's not going to be in there till November. Yeah. So that's going to be a bit of a problem anyway. Yeah, I think the IDP, maybe we've got them ranked second. I think that's maybe a little aggressive, a little high, but I do like where the defensive line's sitting, so it's definitely an opportunity there. Team that had a very good draft, in my opinion. I think they really kind of hit some good positional value on moving through, and sitting on all their own future draft capital is always a decent place to be.
Yeah, and they gain dynasty value going along with that age. They gain a little bit of dynasty value here. Gibbs gains a ton. It is offset somewhat by Calvin Ridley losing double digit, but they still move up to number four in the dynasty ranking. Again, that starter value is really is kind of holding them back a little bit, but that would melt away if they got to the playoffs. So very important for this team to win some games and maybe steal some games along the way, because they do suddenly get a little frisky if they make it to the postseason. 6.56 is the team score. Just the bullet dodge ticker rostering DeAndre Swift and Jahmyr Gibbs. Number five, Dayton Jackals. The Dayton Jackals here. Perhaps we should start with IDP. It is technically the number one IDP team. It's a defense-first team. What do you think about this, Luke?
I mean, yeah, anytime you can go Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa in a format where sacks are huge is amazing. Following it up, Aiden Hutchinson and Montez Sweat, very strong. I think obviously that's going to be a lot of your starters right there going one, two, three, four.
And they just moved to two IDP flex, so now they're going to get to start all three of those guys. I'm assuming they will, where before they wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, so excellent value there again to get Hutchinson in. I think Hutchinson's really going to take a step forward this year. And then Micah Parsons and Nick Bosa, obviously both are going to be terrors in the league for quite some time here. So a very nice place to start yourself. I think the team needed a little bit of a boost, because when we look at the rest of the roster, it maybe leaves a little bit to be desired. Specifically, I'm just thinking more of the quarterback situation and where they're currently sitting. Took Bryce Young at 111. I feel like that was a very good and needed pick for this team. For a team that was sitting on, unfortunately, some misses, if we have to call them that, is Zach Wilson losing his starting job, Trey Lance never really coming to fruition yet. I will say Brock Purdy's maybe looking like he's struggling a little bit in camp right now, so we'll see if that translates to him struggling in when he gets the start, because Purdy is going to be the starter. Trey Lance is going to need to watch him falter for him to be able to take a step in there. And then I just don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo from either a scoring or a health perspective to really be someone who anchors you in a fantasy football league. So nice to get the number one overall pick. I think it's going to be a bit of a rocky year. It is for almost every rookie starter. You got to remember that Trevor Lawrence led the league in interceptions in his first year and has now slowly started to ascend. So you just need to temper expectations and be a little patient. And I think that might be what holds the team back this year. Do you think it's strength at wide receiver is enough to kind of overcome that?
Yeah, number two at wide receiver here, it's really quite good. And a lot of this is going to come down to Jacobs, and his value's kind of been dipping a little bit because he hasn't reported yet, and I think he'll report, but this team needs Josh Jacobs because Khalil Herbert behind them, Roschon Johnson, their second-round pick here. I just want to clarify one thing. Micah Parsons on the CBS site is a linebacker, so they will start Micah Parsons.
Oh, that's amazing. That's perfect for you if you get to just slip him into the linebacker position. That's perfect.
Yeah, so we have it set up with the NFL position designations here, so that's why we thought defensive line. But I was like, wait, there's no linebackers listed. I'm sure one of these guys is a linebacker on CBS. Number eight in total redraft value, number six in starter redraft value. Rate My League actually likes this team a little bit. The staff does. We have them ranked fifth in total redraft value, so we're propping up their score a little bit here. It's another young team, 24.9 on the offensive side of the ball. They go to number six in total dynasty value. Jameson Williams gains a bunch. CeeDee Lamb almost double-digit gain at dynasty value as well. But obviously, I think one thing that hurts them compared to the ranking is the fact that the Rate My League system, even when we use the sort of the standard lower baseline for IDP weighting, it's probably overrating how much IDP can carry a team a little bit. So they're going to have to get some good performances, some surprise performances on offense to live up, I think, to the number five ranking here.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Without the PPR, I think I get a little less excited about CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, but I still think they're going to offer a really big positional advantage moving forward. So I think I'm a little more optimistic, but you're probably right overall.
6.64 is the team score. The baby time, youngest projected starting lineup, the hand grenade, worst rated quarterback position. I've never played this one before on a show because this is my first IDP show. So I'm excited. The Better Call Saul sticker. Better Call Saul! For having the top-rated IDP position spot side, they get the Better Call Saul sticker. Number four, Grover Beach Scoundrels 3. Grover Beach Scoundrels 3. You'll notice I said I had four managers write in with some notes on their team. And we've only heard one of them so far. Is it a surprise that the three best teams in the league were like, yeah, let me tell you all about my team.
Yeah.
So this squad, very good dynasty situation. You can see they go from number seven in total redraft value to number two in total dynasty value, a $59 jump on the dynasty side. Not the youngest team we've seen necessarily, but still on the younger side, 25.3. Breece Hall gaining big, Jaxon Smith-Njigba gaining big, Travis Etienne gaining big here, all double-digit dynasty gainers. You can see they get JSN at 1.02. He was their only pick until 3.02, where they get Spears there. Also picking up my boy, Nate Tank Dell, who showed out pretty well yesterday in preseason football. Where do we want to go here? I mean, also interesting that they have the number seven total value. It's another team that has some pretty good depth on this roster, but perhaps at the detriment of their starters. So you see Deshaun Watson, Brock Purdy, and Desmond Ridder, four NFL starters at quarterback. Right now, James Cook is a backup running back for this squad. And even wide receiver Deontay Johnson is Jahan Dotson, both as backups. And now Jaxon Smith-Njigba added to that on the bench at wide receiver. I mean, very deep at wide receiver, even Kadarius Toney, Darnell Mooney, Romeo Doubs. There's a bunch of guys who could contribute here. But again, you know, no top 20 consensus redraft wide receiver on the roster. That's a little bit of an issue. And tight end is also a major struggle with no top 10 tight end on the roster.
Yeah, I think tight end's really where I don't see anyone who can maybe kind of really outperform where we've got them kind of pegged from a redraft perspective. I mean, Dulcich, Gesicki, and likely all are gonna mix in a fair bit on their respective rosters, but I don't think any of them really are in a position where you're going to see a ton of target share go their way. I might be wrong about Gesicki. It remains to be seen what happens with the Patriots, but I think I feel better about this wide receiver group than we have them kind of pinned at. Keenan Allen, I think, has an opportunity to outperform wide receiver 21. I think you can see Marquise Brown. I know everyone, I think you already kind of said it, is that we're all just like looking at Arizona and just being like, no, like just no.
And I don't
like, they're
going to
play football. Like they're going to play the games. They're going to get the snaps. They're going to throw the same amount as most teams, maybe even more with how bad they are. Now, whether it is Kyler Murray at any point or whether we end up just seeing them use a mishmash of whoever they want and just kind of work their way toward Caleb Williams remains to be seen. But Jahan Dotson was, I think, my favorite rookie last year before he was injured. I really liked what I saw out of him, and I really thought he was a compliment to Terry McLaurin and someone who could really kind of command space on the field just from the fact that Terry had to be worked at. So,
and if you're a proponent of reception projection, I believe he was one of their darlings as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. And I do respect them quite a bit, so I will always lean on them. And then Romeo Doubs, I think, has a better opportunity than that. John Metchie, I think, has a better opportunity than wide receiver 73. So I think like a lot of these guys, I feel a little bit better than. And I know you're a big fan of Tank Dell. So maybe John Metchie doesn't get as much if Tank Dell starts eating down there, but one of them probably has an opportunity. So I feel better about it as a whole. I think you're right. In a best ball situation, it looks great. Yeah. You just got to get there.
Yeah.
Is the number three running back kind of with Barkley, Etienne, Hall, is that enough to just kind of be your starters and win you games in the regular season?
It's going to have to be. I mean, I love Travis Etienne. He is one of my absolute favorites. And Breece Hall and Saquon, I mean, Yes. I mean, it's excellent. And then, yeah, I agree with you. This wide receiver group, only number 9 in total value, but even like Darius Slayton, like there's going to be a 3-week stretch where Darius Slayton gets 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. And you're going to be like, wait, what? But that always seems to happen. Yeah, there's a bunch of guys on this wide receiver group that will contribute. Again, more in a best ball, it's going to be infuriating as during the season trying to figure out who to start.
Yeah,
that's going to be terrible.
Sure.
But yeah, for the best ball, if they do make it, that would be quite fun. How about IDP here? Anything to write home about? We do have it ranked, 9th.
We do have it ranked 9th. The biggest thing is we need to see Chase Young come back, be healthy, and look like he did mostly at Ohio State and at the beginning of the season. I think that's really going to be where the rubber hits the road. David Ojabo, you're kind of hoping comes again, someone who can come back healthy. It's a little light. It definitely needs some help. DeForest Buckner is a better IDP player when you're looking for someone to kind of get tackles and choke up the middle for runs. He's not excellent at getting towards the pass. It's not exactly what he gets asked to do a lot. Jamal Adams at safety. Again, if it was tackles, you feel better. He's not exactly what we call a ball hawk, but he does thump hard enough. He'll at least give you some forced fumbles if he can stay healthy. So it's got a little bit more upside, but yeah, it's a weakness for sure.
How dare you not talk about Sauce Gardner. I saw you skip that cornerback.
He falls into the same category. He's just not going to get the targets. No one's going to throw at Sauce.
Oh, well. We tried. I tried anyway. 6.84 is a team score here. Just the tumbleweed sticker. I mean, the big takeaway for that team is really that dynasty gain. If this team just stays together, and the flip side of all that is maybe they hit early. You know, maybe Breece Hall gets back to that tippy-top running back 1-2-3 pretty quickly. You know, suddenly this team would look really tough to beat if they have, I mean, 3 top 10 running backs. That's going to be really tough to face. Team score, 6.84, just the tumbleweed sticker, no other stickers. Number 3, Boston Ivory Tower. And we do have a note from the – so this is Bobby. We sort of talked about some of the stuff that Bobby said before. He said, my team situation is that I see my team as a contender again this year. And I hope to finally crack your algorithm's top 3. How dare you? How dare you? He won the league last year, and he hopes to make it 2 in a row. He did. He got into the top 3 after winning last season. Oh, that was backhanded. That was. I don't know, it's not really a backhanded compliment. What is it? It's sneaky. It was a sneaky attack.
Sly dig. Yeah. Very. No. I mean, yeah, it's. I congratulations on winning. Always a nice place to be. It's a little bit easier to go back into being a contender. Obviously, Jalen Hurts was probably a very big part of that, and I think he mm-hmm. will be again, especially in these kind of this format. A running back who can really run is going to make a big difference for you. Nice depth with Geno Smith and Russell Wilson, which is why we've got him as our number two quarterback group, feeling really good. Sam Darnold is there. Maybe ends up starting. I think San Francisco needed all their quarterbacks last year. They very well might again. So maybe Sam Darnold gets a little bit of a touch. I think running back, anytime you have Christian McCaffrey, we're obviously going to have you ranked pretty highly. That's a nice place to start. But I needed the help. They have Kenneth Walker, who I haven't got to talk to you about this. How do you feel with Charbonneau? Do you feel as though he's going to eat into Kenneth Walker, or is this just kind of a bit of a misnomer and you're not too concerned?
Well, I'm concerned because Walker's been hurt and hasn't been on the field. And Charbonneau looks pretty good, I guess. You know, he looked...
He ran. He bowled over. You know,
I have some hot takes about like stuff like broken tackles and yards after contact and how important that is. Because like for me, I'd rather my running back just run 60 yards untouched to the end zone rather than breaking five tackles and getting 10 yards. I think broken tackles are a little bit of a neutral stat for running backs. So. But film guys love it, and analytical people seem to love it, too. I mean, film guys love, oh, look, he busted through that tackle, or he bowled that guy over and then fell down. Like, okay. But
I agree with you a fair bit. Like, I think
and Walker's got the speed. Matters. Like, how many times did we see Walker just break away and score the long touchdown last year? He didn't break as many tackles, I guess. But that's it. I mean, if Walker can't get out there anytime soon and – you know, they drafted Charbonneau in round two, right? So, like, this team is going to use them both. Pete Carroll is he's I don't want to say new, he's old, but he's definitely got a little, like, shenanigans in him. How do you say it? I forget how to say it. Like, Shanahanigans?
Shanahanigans,
like
yeah.
Like, a guy who's just, like, every week, you don't really know for sure. So, I'm sure there's going to be weeks where Walker is just kind of like, oh, he didn't have the hot hand. Oh, great.
Yeah, which I think is a problem with your running back too, but it's maybe not killer because, like you said, I think that's where the crux of it is that Kenneth Walker is such a home run hitter that he maybe doesn't need the volume as much as some other running backs do. Is if he gets you that 60-yard touchdown, it really doesn't matter that he only got 13 carries instead of 20.
The problem is he didn't, you know, he's not much of a receiver. He didn't catch the ball a ton, so that opens up more opportunities. You know, this team, they won because, well, they exceeded expectations, as you mentioned. Jalen Hurts had a big season. Kenneth Walker had a big season, a big sort of breakout season. Even Devontae Smith did better than his ranking. And then they had the hammer card, Travis Kelce.
Yeah, anytime you have Travis Kelce, you have a trump card. You have a positional advantage that it could be massive. You could be playing someone who's got one of those middle of the road tight ends who scores 7 points and Travis Kelce scores 27 and all of a sudden it really doesn't matter. Obviously a huge positional advantage there. I think I like the wide receivers enough. I don't see a ton of depth, and I think they recognize that as well, going out and getting Jalen Hyatt with their first pick at 212. I think that's decent value for Hyatt. I've seen him kind of fall a little bit into the middle of the second round when people were a little more excited about him. But Devonta Smith, DJ Moore in Chicago, if you're a believer in Justin Fields like I am, I think is an opportunity for him to kind of help that offense take its step forward. And I'm never going to bet against Mike Evans, regardless of who's throwing him the football, because Mike Evans has done 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns with worse quarterbacks than Baker Mayfield. So there's no reason he can't do it.
This team does lose some dynasty value. They fall $53 in dynasty value. They go from number 2 in total redraft value to number 5 in total dynasty value. Number 11 in future draft capital, but really they're just missing a 24-second. I'm wondering, Luke, this team won a title last year. Would you be willing to sacrifice some draft capital to, let's say, they need to retool a little bit before the playoffs start or add some depth pieces for the best ball? Are you willing to sort of make that a more barren future draft capital situation if it means a better chance at a second straight title?
I mean, absolutely, especially when you're going for back-to-back. I'll always leverage. I think maybe they need an IDP piece. I'm really not sure how much they cost in this league. We haven't seen a lot of trades. They might be quite affordable based on where things are kind of going. I think an impact sack producer on the DL would make a nice difference to kind of supplement Joey Bosa and Kayvon Thibodeau. That, or you go out and maybe kind of package a James Conner and a first to go get like a really good impact RB3, I think would be maybe a nice place to go.
Yeah, definitely something to keep in mind, especially just because, you know, this team is aging out a little bit, and who knows how many more cracks at the coconut they're going to get. 7.13 is the team score here. Just one helmet sticker, the big item sticker.
No sweat. This conclave is going to be a real big item.
For having the top-rated tight end position, you have Travis Kelce. You're probably going to get that one. Number two, Silver Oak Eagles. We heard from the manager here. said, well, my team seems pretty stacked. A few question marks. If all goes well, should make the playoffs, no doubt. My only problem is the league structure. Don't understand all the defensive positions. Two extra DLLB DB slots. Ridiculous. Should be replaced with running back, wide receiver, tight end. Offense is way more fun and exciting than defense. You like sacks or TDs? You like sacks or TDs more, huh? Spent most of my draft picks on defensive players. Stupid. Luke, are you offended as the IDP expert on this podcast?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, I understand that offense is exciting and it's fun to watch, but I think a sack is very fun. So it's excellent to watch that. And then you get to really expand. And the other fun part that I will pitch for IDP is that all 11 guys on the field matter in IDP, and you don't get to say that about offense. So you really do get a little bit more of a depth, and it really does help your understanding of the game. And I will say that you did spend some draft capital on it, and I think you did pretty good picking up Trey Hendrickson, Quiddy Pay, and Justin Simmons. Love Justin Simmons as a nice little safety value, and then Trey Hendrickson, I think, was really good value for a defensive line player. He's going to make a big difference from maybe a sack perspective, and then Quiddy Pay really has an opportunity to take a step forward this year. So nice additions to a team that probably did need some help with just kind of Josh Allen, Odafe away, kind of needing it. Now, I think I immediately want to jump to running back. We've got them ranked dead last at 12th, and someone's saying that they think they're a lock for the playoffs, and I'm not saying they're not, but they used 105 on Devin Achane. I think they needed it. How do you feel about the team as a whole and where Fantasy Pros maybe has those players ranked compared to what we think they're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, Javonte Williams is the interesting one, I think, because before the pretty severe injury he suffered, he was looking like he could be a top 10, top 15, pretty much perennial running back. So, you know, can he come back quickly? We keep hearing good news. He's at 100%. I need to see it a little bit before I believe it, but he's an exciting piece to have for sure. And that kind of goes into this team's calling card, which is really that dynasty value. And Javonte Williams is one of the big dynasty gainers here. This team goes from number 3 in total in starter redraft value to number 1 in total dynasty value. So an interesting little wrinkle there that this team, even if they don't win the title this year, even if they just, yes, make it to the playoffs and peter out a little bit, they should still be around for the long haul. Outside of that, you're really looking for Dalvin Cook to end up on a team. I like Antonio Gibson. I've always been a big Antonio Gibson supporter. I don't understand why they kept running Brian Robinson for three yards in a cloud of dust last year, but I guess that's what they wanted to do. I think Gibson still has some value there. What's really important for this team is the number 1 wide receiver ranking. I mean, it offsets the wide receivers a little bit for sure with A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, T. Higgins, DK Metcalf. You have 4 of the top 17 consensus redraft wide receivers here. They only need one running back. And I think they got, I mean, certainly for the regular season, they only really need one running back most weeks. And I think they have enough talent here that they can play matchups a little bit at running back. I think they can survive. In the playoffs, when it's best ball, that's when things get a little more dicey.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, but I mean, when we talk about depth from the best ball perspective, I mean, you named all their starters a wide receiver, and we still get to talk about Chris Godwin, Cortland Sutton, maybe Michael Thomas. So they do have a little bit of additional depth at wide receiver that maybe kind of gives you some better variance in best ball scoring. But I agree. I think Rashad White dodged a lot of bullets in the draft and the offseason perspective, and he does have a pretty good opportunity sitting there in Tampa. I agree that Javonte Williams is the guy I really think you're hoping comes back, and I think he can outperform RB27. George Kittle, I think, starting to fall from a dynasty value perspective, but at least is still in that upper tier echelon where you're going to get a positional advantage at tight end most times, unless you're going up against Travis Kelce. I think I worry a little bit about Tua Tagovailoa and Mac Jones as my quarterback grouping, but I realize that Tua's got all the weapons in the world. His health is just a major concern
for me. Yeah, it's not just like, oh, he's hurt this season or whatever. It's like, oh, like he got a concussion and that might be it. That's a little scary for sure. And in a situation like that, you know, I worry less year to year, I guess, because fine, Mac Jones will be your starter, but long term, there's got to be a better backup plan here long term than Mac Jones. And look, I think Mac Jones could do better than quarterback 30, just having like an actual offensive coordinator this year.
Yes. Yeah,
seems
absolutely.
Like a good thing. I don't know. I'm no expert. I mean, I'm no Bill Belichick, but I think having a guy who actually has the title offensive coordinator for your team seems to be a good thing. I don't know. This team, they have their future draft capital intact. Anything with IDP you want to talk about?
No, I mean, we've got them ranked third. I mentioned how I liked where they've gone with the draft. I think they have enough depth already. Does CBS have Isaiah Simmons as a linebacker? I think that'd be my only concern. Is I know a couple people have moved him to a safety in certain formats. But I'm assuming if we've got him as an LB still here, he's probably still an LB.
Yeah, that, Josh Allen, good. Isaiah Simmons, and Owe.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, great. Josh Allen as a linebacker is excellent as well. So that gives it a nicer balance for sure. I think,
I thought he was a quarterback, so the hell do I know?
The lesser known Josh Allen.
Was it last year where Josh Allen sacked Josh Allen?
That was fun. It was amazing. It was one of my favorites.
Team score here, 7.63. Helmet Sickers, I have no homers rated running back position, but let's play this. The goes to 11.
The numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board. Oh. 11, oh, 11,
and most
11.
And the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
For having the top-rated wide receiver position, and again, boy, those top four, A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, T. Higgins, D.K. Metcalf. Good luck to everybody else facing that lineup, trying to outscore that wide receiver quadrant. What do you call a quad? I don't know. Not like trio, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Number one, the Bear Lake
Berserkers.
At least Rob can yell at someone else other than me. It'll be nice. So Rob says, I feel like I have a well-rounded roster, and I'm looking to return to the playoffs. I missed out last season by one. Can I curse? I don't know. Curse was language warning, in case you have to turn it down. By one fucking point. I have to say it. I mean, if...
Ouch.
Yeah, that's not good. After Kyler Murray went down with the non-contact injury, yes, I remember seeing that as it happened and was not happy about it. Just a brutal way to miss the playoffs. Yes. Not good. 1 point. Not great. Which sort of makes me wonder about... Luke, do you have like a worst loss in your fantasy career?
Honestly, that Alvin Kamara, I lost Alvin Kamara with a team that was so much better. I beat him at every single position other than Alvin Kamara, and then Alvin Kamara just immediately just smashed me. And I don't own a lot of Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
And that was just like a very painful experience. Just watch one player just crush what was a much better team.
A juggernaut. Yeah, my worst loss happened in 2000. It was the first year that we were on CBS. We used CBS for the beginning of our league. And I was in the playoffs, and it was Monday Night Football. The Rams and Kurt Warner were playing the Tampa Bay Bucks. It was a good game. And the Bucks took a lead late, and I had the lead. So I had the lead, and I had Kurt Warner. So it was the last drive, and all that had to happen was Kurt Warner could not throw an interception. As long as Kurt Warner didn't throw an interception, I would win. And the game ended with a Kurt Warner interception. And I lost the game after winning the game. And yeah, I lost by like, I mean, my scoring is crazy, but I lost by essentially like 0.1. it was not a good time in my household. The worst part was that I didn't have a computer. It was 2000. So like the computer was downstairs. It was nighttime. So like I went to bed thinking I had won. And then I woke up the next morning. I was like doing the math in my head. I was like, yeah, I think I still won. Even with that incident. Next morning I go and look, and I was so mad. So that's my worst loss. Anyway, number one, yes, here we go. Total rank, number one in this league. Number one in both total and starter redraft value. They do have a little bit of age on offense. I mean, it's not the oldest team, 26 flat. It's kind of an early prime age team. But you can see they lose a lot of dynasty value with Nick Chubb, Amari Cooper, Joe Mixon here, all losing double-digit dynasty value. They do gain a decent chunk back with Kyle Pitts, but it's not enough to offset that dynasty loss. They go from number one in total redraft value to number three in total dynasty value. That said, the team to beat, question mark? I mean, Zach Charbonnet in round one. Did they keep? They didn't keep him, right? They did keep him. So
they did keep him, yeah.
Yeah, so Zach Charbonnet's here. They also picked up Anthony Richardson at 1.08, which honestly, when you look at, you know, C.J. Stroud going at 1.12 and Will Levis going at 2.01, Richardson at 1.08 isn't the most egregious pick, I suppose, with his high ceiling there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy to see him be the first running back, or running back, rude, quarterback off the board. I think especially with a team that, I mean, losing Kyler Murray and maybe your faith in Kyler Murray a little bit is definitely a nice kind of supplement when you didn't maybe need to, maybe a bit of a glamour pick from some perspectives. But yeah, I think the analysis is dead on. Is this is a well-rounded team when you're kind of sitting at a top five positional player at quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, and hoping to kind of see that ascendance in Kyle Pitts to really take that next step forward. I mean, all my concerns that I have with Drake London, you can just copy paste and move over to Kyle Pitts. It's the same. It's the same issues. Yeah. It's really how it's just you're hearing such an offense that is so tied to the running game and how you feel about Desmond Ridder. I mean, unless you're a Cincinnati Bearcats fan, I don't think you've seen him do a lot that's been impressive. And it's just going to be remain to be seen whether he can take that step forward this year. And if he can, then all of a sudden Atlanta's in a good position. But if he can't, Atlanta's going to be moving on from him. And we're going to be looking at a brand new kind of offense again next year. But, you know,
I was going to say one little concern I have that's maybe bubbling under the radar a little bit. You know, it's funny. This is the first time, Luke, you and I have done a show together. One thing. So I end up living a little bit in a bubble talking to Derek all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
And we bounce our ideas off of each other. But we are very – Derek and I are kind of in line where we're a little bit skeptical of Anthony Richardson. You know, the passing pedigree for him isn't great. That doesn't mean for fantasy we're anti Anthony Richardson. It just means that we have some concerns that he's going to be the long-term starter there, or even like this year, if he's struggling throwing a lot of interceptions, will they keep him out there? This team, when it gets to the best ball side of things, yes, you got Lamar and that's great. I worry a little bit just in the playoffs at that quarterback slot if Richardson is struggling, and who knows, we sort of mentioned it before, but who knows what the hell's going to happen with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. I mean, maybe he gets back out there towards the end of the season, but maybe the Cardinals are also like 0-8 by the time he's ready to come back and no one wants him to come back at that point. So I think it's just like a mild concern right now. I will say they have draft capital here. They have an extra first round draft pick next season. If that does come to fruition, where this team is struggling at the quarterback slot, or at least behind Lamar, they're struggling, maybe they use one of those picks to acquire a quarterback that can help in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. I feel like, I mean, I think all your concerns are warranted. I mean, there are not a lot of test cases that look like Anthony Richardson. Like when you look at it being a 1 year starter, what his completion percentages look like. There are very valid concerns. I think you're really betting on the athleticism and the ability that what we kind of saw from him and from a passing progression and what he started to do is going to continue. And yeah. if it doesn't, if it stalls at where he was as a Florida Gator, I agree. He could fizzle out, but he is just so electric on the ground that you hope the rest of it comes together.
Yes. You're wanting that Josh Allen leap.
Yes, as a passer. Exactly. That's your best example is just definitely Josh Allen. Is you need that leap, and then even if you want to be a detractor, like Josh Allen took the leap and then is now taking a step back for the last two seasons. So it remains to be seen. I think otherwise, if we're poking holes in the number one team, which is usually what we end up doing to kind of give the rest of the league hope,
we nitpick.
Wide receiver's a little weak. Is Jerry Jeudy maybe isn't earmarked as a starter because of how deep they are at running back when you're going to be definitely starting Joe Mixon, no doubt about it. Jerry Jeudy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore, Alan Lazard coming over with his buddy Aaron Rodgers there. I think I worry a little bit at who kind of can take that step forward. I feel very comfortable with Amari Cooper as your wide receiver too. I think that's a pretty excellent play. And anytime you have Justin Jefferson, you definitely have some leeway, just as much of a game breaker as he is. And the team took some shots. They went out and got Josh Downs and Rashee Rice. So you now have a couple more of that spinning carousel of who's going to be the next wide receiver in Kansas City with Sky Moore and Rashee Rice. Is going to be either of them? Maybe.
And Marvin Mims a little bit interesting as well.
I love Marvin Mims. Yeah. Love Marvin Mims. I think there's at least a little bit of value there. But it's a beatable team. It is very good.
Yeah. Oh, it should be one of the teams towards the end of the season. And again, they have two first-round picks next year. They're number four in future draft capital here. No 24 second-rounder, but the two first, they have their 25 picks intact. So would expect this team, if they need it, to be able to tool up for the playoffs a little bit. IDP is not looking super great.
It's not. No, I mean, I think the Tyree Wilson pick in the fifth round is great. I think what's not great is that he's immediately your best defensive line player. That's a bit of an issue. Jerry Hughes and Justin Houston both really not going to be making big differences for you. Shaquille Leonard in this kind of scoring format, not great. I mean, you've got some pretty random cornerbacks, honestly, which isn't the worst place to play it. The one thing I will say is that with how few starter requirements and what we've seen, the waiver wire is just a plethora of IDP value. So you will be able to cycle in and get some kind of hot hands and who's really showing good scoring this year. But I don't think it's enough to slow the team down a lot, but it is an area where they are behind a few of the teams that are chasing them.
Team score here, 7.66. One bad point here. The pump the brakes sticker. This is actually the Rate My League staff's lowest rated team versus consensus. We got them ranked third as opposed to number one. Sorry about that. But let's play this one, the I'm a show you sticker.
I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. I'm going to show you how great I am.
For having the top-ranked team to get the I'm a Show You sticker. We did it. We counted down 12, 2, 1. Thank you to Get a Life, and thank you to Rob for setting this all up. You can follow me on Twitter at RateMyLeague. Derek, there we go. I got through the whole damn show.
You did so good.
Luke, where can we follow you on Twitter?
You can find me at Twitter at Dynasty Diehard.
Or X, or whatever the hell we're calling it now. Have a great season, guys. Good luck, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again in the future. Adios.